We're here and looking at the life of the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter, follow thou me. And the life of Peter is our theme. The Lord Jesus told Peter and Andrew as they were fishing there in Matthew 4:18 to follow me, the Lord Jesus said. And then Jesus dealt with Peter. We've not got to this passage, but in John chapter 21 with Peter and others that were there, and he told Peter, follow thou me. Well, last time we looked at Peter's commitment to the Lord, he said though all would be offended, he would not be offended. He said that he is ready to go to jail, to prison, and even to death for the Lord. The Lord has told him what will come to pass, and that's really the power of our Lord and the ability and knowledge of our Lord is exhibited there. The Lord makes him a promise and that he's prayed for him. And so that's at hand. We just can only wonder what Peter is thinking. You know, Peter and the apostles, as they look on at the Lord Jesus Christ, they think that this is the one that's the Messiah. They think that he's going to be the one that's going to deliver Israel. They've got these ideas. They've seen his power. They've seen his ability. He keeps talking to us about being abused by the leadership in Israel, being given over to the hands of the Gentiles and dying, raising from the dead. What's he mean by that? You know, you know how it is when a lot of things, you got a big change in life, a lot of information coming at you, a lot of things going on. You know, we've had times like that together here in our church. In past years, it's like every service, something different, something new. But you can imagine with these brethren, in a different way here with the Lord Jesus, just things coming and more things. They don't understand. No doubt they're talking one with another. And now Peter's been told, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. And that's what, in the morning. In the morning. Peter, did he steel himself? Did he doubt? Did he wonder and think about that? Tonight we want to take a look here. Let's go to Matthew 26, Matthew chapter 26, and as the Lord observed the Passover and then instituted the Lord's Supper. We'll not look at that time that he spent with them in the upper room there, other than just what we've referred to already. There's John tells us in several chapters things that our Lord Jesus said in that upper room and as he taught them, and we've looked at that in a long time ago. But that's really one of those things where it's an example of the Gospel of John zooming in on that time and telling more than the other brethren do in their Gospels. We look here in Matthew 26, after they left the upper room and they're heading over towards Gethsemane, we see here in Matthew 26, verse number 36, then cometh Jesus with them to the place called Gethsemane, and saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. So that's what he tells the group. And they've, I wonder if Jesus didn't go across, it's believed that he went across the Temple Mount, went out the Eastern Gate, went down through the valley of Kidron, and then up into Gethsemane there, that's at the foot or so of the Mount of Olives. And he says, you fellas sit here, I'm going to go pray. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, who's that, James and John, right? And began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And so he tells all of them to stay. He points out these three brethren, Peter being mentioned first, Matthew writing and declaring that Peter and then James and John. And the load is being put on the Lord. I don't know what all that this is, but he is well, he says he's sorrowful. You know, when is it? I look at it as a load that's coming upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if it's not certainly opposition from Satan. I wonder, and this is just where I'm at with it. To be honest with you, I wonder if it's such that our sins are being put upon our Lord. Hebrews does tell us that the Lord feared and that the Lord cried. Tells us that plainly in Hebrews, that he did so. You think about all the everything, every being that's of this earth, and every fallen being, Satan being the leader of those fallen angels, and mankind, and just as depravity, are all against this taking place. Now, men are going to put the Lord Jesus to death because of their hatred of him, but everything about sin and everything about wickedness is in opposition to our Lord. He is indeed alone. There's no way that the brethren, the apostles, can even empathize with our Lord. He by himself is going through this. They're with him. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. This is such a load, such a burden, the griefs that the scriptures say that he carried. Tarry ye here and watch with me. So he said, I want you to stay awake. I want you to pray, as we're going to see. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. We know that the Lord Jesus came to do what he did on Calvary. It troubles us to think that the Lord Jesus Christ would from his humanity, not want to do that. But we do have in the scriptures that tells us that he feared and he cried unto him that was able to deliver him. Let's just read that. Let's put that in context here, what it says in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse number 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. You know that I don't know how else to say it, that from the human standpoint, from the Lord's human standpoint, he obviously feared. He was afraid to die. Understand, God has never died. From the standpoint of him being God, he came to do what he came to do. And Jesus, he listen to what he prays, Oh, my Father, if it be possible. He doesn't say, I'm not. But he prays this prayer as a man. He's 100% man, 100% God. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And there ends the debate. Is it the cup of suffering? Is it the whole thing, the shame? It tells us in Hebrews he despised the shame. Let this cup, what is the cup? Is there any other way? We wonder if that was what our Lord as a man was petitioning the Father. It says there in Hebrews, where we read unto him that was able to deliver him, right? And so this is not a point. Some would grab a hold of this and use it as a point of doubt. It says here in Hebrews 7:5-7, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. So it seems from this passage that death is the issue. And by our sins being put on the Lord Jesus Christ, death is the only answer for them to be paid. But he says, then this is where we get how we ought to pray. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. So that, see, that's the end. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou, what you will. And he cometh to the disciples, verse 40, and findeth them asleep, and saith to Peter, you know, why did he single out Peter? Well, he's going to be a leader in the church after the Lord's death and resurrection. What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? Couldn't you be here and be with me? Don't you know how serious this is, how great this moment and this time is? But it's just a testimony to man. Could a man pay the price? A man alone pay the price for sinners' sins? Couldn't even stay awake. Couldn't even stay awake. The Lord Jesus Christ is indeed a man of sorrows. You and I know what it is to lose a friend or to have a friend become discontent with us and go and separate themselves from us to let us down. Jesus had no one that supported him to the end. And then, as it was necessary, the Father even turned his back on the Son as he hung on the cross. You know, we maybe you all had different times of loneliness, but there's no one that knows loneliness like the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Be awake and pray. Pray with me that you not enter not into temptation. There's going to be a temptation coming, fellas. The Lord's already told them that every one of them is going to betray him. They're going to leave him alone. You need to be praying. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We use that verse a lot, don't we? We know it's the case. We got the want to. I mean, we say, you know, we got the zeal. We've got the want to. We say, yes, yes, yes. But then the combination comes along. We say, oh, I didn't know about that combination. Right? Isn't that the way we are? And the Lord knows this. Praise be to God, he does. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You know, you and I mean, this is a fine example about the things that our Lord leads us and calls us to do, things that we may be afraid of, things that we may have doubt in ourselves about that we can accomplish. And as the Lord's Spirit works on us and presses upon us, you know, we yield. And that's good to yield to the Lord. It is. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, he knows. There's fellowship between the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We know in the Scriptures that there's communication between the Son and the Father without anybody ever hearing it. Sweet fellowship between the two. And that they won't be parted until the Lord Jesus is on the cross. And so is the Father talking to his Son that has become a man in words that they could not hear, nor we understand. The Lord Jesus Christ knowing what the will of the Father is, doesn't he? Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me. So see, it's different, isn't it? There is not another way. I must suffer. I must die. I must fear. There's a song that speaks about the courage of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what they say? Courage is not being afraid. Courage is being afraid and going on and doing what needs to be done. And indeed, our Lord is and was courageous. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. And they had eaten a good meal in that Passover meal. They had eaten a good meal. Historically, we understand things had changed about the Passover. Some, and I don't know, I think whatever was the custom of the day and what they did, I don't know if they did it exactly like it was done in Egypt. They went and bought things. You know, they thought Judas might be going out and buying some more stuff. The Lord sent our brethren to prepare the upper room and get things ready for it. They're on the move. How could they put up a lamb for 4 days, right? Maybe there was some way that they did. And so there they are, late at night, likely coming on at midnight. He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. I would venture the same words as the second time recorded here. Then cometh he to his disciples, Peter being there, as it said, and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Wow. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He even knows when Judas is approaching. He knows where everybody is all the time and what's going on in our hearts. And he says Judas is on the way. In Mark chapter 14, we see the same account, and Mark 14, verse 32. And they came to a place which is called Gethsemane, Mark 14, 32. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. He taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. So Mark words it differently. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Exceedingly sorrowful unto death. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is without sin. And, you know, we know Jonah was on a big pout, wasn't he? And Jonah was wrong. But Jonah, he counted what the Lord had called him to do up against what the nation would think of him. I believe that was one of the things that he knew. I think he likely knew, too, that the Lord would use the Ninevites and those of Assyria to chastise Israel. I think he knew that. And so death to them would be the best thing that could happen to Israel. But the Lord blessed with their capital city and gave them salvation and life for a time. But, you know, Jonah's, he's there and he's mourning over the gourd. And the Lord asked him about him being sorrowful. And he said, yeah, I just wish I'd die. Now, the Lord Jesus is not wishing himself to die, but he's so loaded, he's so heavy and so sorrowful that would it have been that it would have killed a mortal man? You know, I mean, a man after Adam's You think about the sin. You know, what if all my sin, I bear the condemnation of my sin, but now let's get down to paying for my sin. It would kill me, wouldn't it? Now let's add my family's to me. Well, I mean, I don't get any better off. I just die sooner, don't I? You see what I'm saying? And we don't even have the capacity to bear such a thing. But the sin of the Lord's people is being laid on Him. And that specter of death coming within, what, 12 hours? I mean, it's at hand. The shame and the abuse and the cruelty of the cross, exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry you here and watch. Verse 35, He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. That is worded differently, that the hour might pass. Get on with it quickly or just go away. We have what our Lord gives us in Hebrews. And He said, Abba, Father. It's like saying, Daddy. Father, that's what that Abba is. It's very close. It's very affectionate. The Lord is not childish in any way, but it is a very affectionate, like a child would call their own father Daddy. I think we see revealed here what it's saying over in Hebrews, don't you? That he besought the Lord with much tears and crying, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not I will, but what Thou wilt. And He cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter. And so there Peter's pointed out again, you know, again, I think I mentioned it last time, you know, as Peter lived and the brethren write the Gospels, I don't know about the timing of his death relative to when the brethren began to write their Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Certainly Peter and John were close to one another. I don't know how, I've never studied that historically about when it's believed that Peter died relative to the life of John, say, and what Gospels had been written. You know, if Peter read any of them, he saw his name mentioned a lot. Wonder what he would think. Said, I was always getting into trouble, wasn't I? fellas, it's the truth. Right on. It's the truth. I don't know. I think about those things. Saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? I think about praying for 15 or 20 minutes, not for the sake of making time elapse, but we have difficulty focusing, don't we? Had difficulty not falling asleep. Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You know, it speaks to how bad off this flesh. We take a lot of stock in our flesh and our old man. And that's how we live on this earth. I mean, that's how we continue to live, is as the flesh lives. But it indeed is weak. Up against pursuing the things of our Lord, the flesh indeed is weak. The flesh won't save. You know, you that are here and not saved, you're not going to be saved by anything that your flesh can do. I understand how weak it is. And if maybe you that are here not saved, maybe you might be troubled. I don't know. I had this before the Lord saved me. You say, well, I'm not going to be able to keep that up. Well, see, it's not about keeping anything up. The Lord has said, repent and believe and trust in Him. He's the one that saves. He's the one that keeps. He's the one that empowers his children to be able to do anything. We continually look to him for help. If there be any profitable, anything profitable that comes out of our lives from the time our Lord has saved us, it's because our Lord has worked and helped us. Are we to purpose to pursue and do? Sure. The Scripture speaks to us. Are we to mortify this old flesh? Yes, we are. We're to put it down. It's against the things of God. The Spirit truly is ready. Remember what Spirit lives within us. It's the Spirit of our Lord. The Spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. You know how it is on Sunday afternoons after fellowship dinner. They've had a big feed. Neither wist they what to answer him. What can we say? And they weren't laughing. But I'm laughing at the way that we... I can't help it. Can't help it. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. So Peter is there, and Peter is mentioned. You know, did Peter for a while wonder about the Lord Jesus Christ going off? If we understand it right, it's only Peter, James, and John that saw the sweat drops, as the other Gospels mention. We'll not read that. But the sweat drops, I believe there were sweat drops that were like blood, as it said, the Scripture says that, it was as if they were like blood. And understand, you know, as they wrote, they saw the blood of the cross. They saw what the Romans did to criminals. And so they saw blood that flowed and would splat on the ground. And so that I think that's a connection to let us know how the burden and the load was upon the Lord. He was sweating profusely. And these, we have 11 and 8 that are back, 3 that are nearer, and then the Lord Jesus Christ apart from them. How was it that they knew that the Lord did sweat great drops, as it were, of blood, if they didn't see that? But they still fell asleep. They still fell asleep as they looked on or wondered, tried to pray, closed their eyes in prayer, and fell on asleep. And our Lord is there petitioning the Father alone. You know, again, the Lord Jesus didn't quit on them, did he? He could have. And from the standpoint of faithful friends and faithful disciples, he should have. But praise be to God, he didn't. Don't you know those fellas? Peter, he hated that about himself. He hated that he couldn't even stay awake, and he made the promises that he'd made to the Lord about he'd stand with him. And then he couldn't even stay awake. And then the Lord wakes him up the third time. And says, come on, fellas, let's go. And they say, oh, I fell asleep again. And don't you know that they repented of that? And they saw their weakness. And they saw the greatness of the Lord. They understood these things after the Lord's resurrection. And the Gospels were written about it. And the Lord continued. He didn't give up on them. He used them. Then we come to John chapter 18. The Lord says that Judas is at hand, and we see this here. And, you know, as prayer to petitioning our Lord for help is so important. I mean, we've got to go to our Lord. If you don't pray to your Lord for help, you'll not have help. And we need to petition our Lord for help. And so we think about the Lord waking those fellows up, said, come on now, he's coming. And they say, what? Yeah, and they see the Lord Jesus walking on. Say, get up, let's go. His father, he's going this way now. You know, so it's the way I say that because it's the way people are. We see this here in John 18, where John writes, and these folks come looking, band of men, verse number 3, with Judas, chief priests and Pharisees. They're coming thither with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Lord asked them, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. They don't even recognize the Lord Jesus. Is the Lord Jesus wringing wet from all that burden and sweating that he did? I mean, if he sweated great drops like blood, then he's wringing wet with sweat, because you don't dry out from that in short time. If he sweat great drops of blood, doesn't he have blood all over him and on his clothes? They don't even recognize him. He said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he. And Judas is standing there with him. As soon as he had said that unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. I love that passage. Wow, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is obedient to the Father. He's prayed. He's surrendered. He's, as it was said there in Hebrews, he's subject to the will of the Father. And you know what? There's power manifested. Now, this is God, and this is Jesus. He says, I am. You see, I think of those fellows like the Keystone Cops. They've got, the Keystone Cops, they run around, run into each other. You see those fire brigades that are just all out of whack, you know, and their comedy outfits. They run into each other, and the hose gets away, and they fall off the ladder. You know, all that kind of, that's the way I vision these fellas. They've got their lanterns. What's it say? Lanterns, torches, and weapons. I mean, they're clanging up through there, and Judas is leading them. And they say, who you looking for? Jesus says, who you looking for? So Jesus answers that I'm he, and pling, they all fall back, clang, clang, clatter, clatter, drop the lanterns, drop the stuff, holding it up, try not to catch the next guy on fire. They fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? As they're getting up off the ground. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost, gavest me, have I lost none. So yet even the scripture is being fulfilled. And John noted that, and the Lord impressed that and inspired that unto him, that he might write that. That even at that, the Lord is fulfilling scripture. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant's ear, high priest servant, and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. I heard said in my childhood that Peter is just, he was so inept at using a weapon that he just was trying to hit the fella and whack him across the head to get the fight going. And that's all he got was his ear. You got to remember, Peter's a fisherman. I think what Peter did myself is that was the warning shot. He just reached up there and went, shh. This is for real, fellas, and cut off his ear. The scripture tells us in the Gospels, and that's a reason for reading the Gospels, that the Lord Jesus Christ healed his ear. Right there. They said, who are you looking for? He said, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. They fall back. He asks them again. They get up, and he said, I'm he. Let these go their way. Peter draws his sword and cuts off Malchus's servant's ear. Or Malchus's ear, the Lord heals it. Then said Jesus to Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He's submitted to it, hadn't he? Peter, again, you don't know what spirit you're of. What do you think Peter's... You think Peter's frustrated? You think Peter's confused? What's going on? He's not standing there just kind of, just kind of blasé. I can't figure out what to do that's right. You ever have a time like that? I can't figure out what to do. He wanted me to stay awake. I didn't stay awake. Now he wants me. We're going with him, and now they're going to take him. I don't want them to take him. He heals him. He's seen the Lord heal. He says, "Put that sword away, Peter. I'm to drink the cup my Father had given me." And the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. They tied him up right there like a criminal, led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. The Lord says, don't fight. They're taking the Lord and binding him. Evidently, everybody else says, let's go. Let's fly. And they run, as the Gospels tell us. Our brother Peter, our Lord Jesus alone. We're going to stop right there for tonight. And we're going to take up, Lord willing, next time about how Peter follows along. Nothing said about the other disciples except for John about them following along. Peter's going to watch from a distance as Jesus goes before the high priest and even the council.